America Business.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Well, welcome to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, and I'm Aldana Ambler. And for those of you who haven't been listening for a while, let me frame the show for you. We alternate through different growth strategies for mid-sized companies. So one week we might be talking about growing your rapidly growing mid-sized company through, say, geographic expansion. The next week it might be franchising. The next week it might be, an IPO or something like that. And we like to alternate through different kinds of industries as well and different geographies around the world. So the variety is really great fun. The audience, it's a peer-to-peer show. So our audience has four different segments. Those of you who are listening, you know who you are. One major segment are owners and presidents of companies at about 20 million, and you have your sights on 200 million and can smell and taste $1 billion. Second segment is at about 10 million. Third segment are presidents and division heads in large corporations, and a fourth segment is micro-sized companies, and this is where you're headed. So hello, everybody. Just to frame this program, because there's lots of different kinds of radio programs that you're logging on to, so you want to make sure that the growth strategies that we're talking about, if we're talking at the mid-sized level and that we're not explaining everything to death, you'll know why. We do invite people to ask questions. We had a few questions that came in online last week to Peter Colella and I because we were talking about preparing your business for sale, and we used a lot of words and phrases like EBITDA, et cetera. How do you get a decent multiplier and how do you go through a phase one audit? And so we got a number of questions. And so Peter responded to people. And let me explain for those of you who have not ever had transfer of property that what a phase one is. That's when, at least in this country and in a number of other countries, you can't have land transfer from one person to another without having an environmental audit. And the first stage of that at least checking the soil sample and the water sample is called phase one. And then you check to see if there's any contamination. And, you know, if you have to, if it has some problems, like, for example, if it was a tank that had leaked or you had a former gas station, something like that, and the soil is not proper for somebody else to be coming there, or if you had mercury levels that are too high for a daycare center to be placed on that, and you have to remediate the property, it can change the value of the land. Think about this. And there's a major step that you'd have to take to remove the soil, clean the soil, and so there's a phase two process about what method you'd have to use to make sure that you're cleaning the property. So there's your answer to what we meant by phase one. It isn't just a step in the transfer of land. It's actually a process, a formal process for evaluating contamination of land and water. Okay? So today we're talking about growing your business through an aggressive, you know, really well-managed product development process. Now, one of the things that's interesting to me, with mid-sized companies, wouldn't you think that in that sweet spot, you know, I love taking companies between 20 and 200 million. Wouldn't you think most of my clients would be great at product development? But I'll tell you what, if you want to hear whining, it's about product development. The things that happen, it's about six major problems. There's disruption to ongoing operation. We can't figure out how to have the new products woven into the new, what we've been already working on. If we put this new stuff in, then the ongoing operation stops. I don't know how we're going to do that, and it's different kinds of people, and you know, you can't expect us to do that, and we're trying to make money here, and leave us alone. Whine. The second problem is, how do we evaluate how much the new product is going to sell? Just because George over here thinks that that's going to sell doesn't mean that we should have a truckload of these coming in. And how much money should we spend on this? Argue, whine. Third problem, staying on schedule. All right, I know Mac over there thinks that this thing should be a million lines of code. He thinks that he can get that done by March, but that doesn't mean those software application engineers know what they're talking about. Yeah, right, they're going to get it done by May. And we're going to have this, we're going to announce the launch of this brand new product, and it's not going to be done until January. Argue, whine. All right, how about budget overruns? Oh, we said this was going to cost us $1 million to introduce this new product. Well, we're already on 3.2, and we've gone to the venture capitalist three times now. Argue, whine. We can't introduce a new product just because the CEO has this favorite new thing he wants us to do. If we introduce one more new thing for his ego, we're going to drift into about 16 new niches. We don't even have any niche anymore. We're losing our positioning. We're losing our brand. We're going to be everything to everybody because we're just catering to his ego instead of the marketplace. Wine, wine, argue, argue. You hear it? I think the process of product development ends up being one of the most contentious, difficult processes. So, let's go back to what the real issue is. If you listen to what I just said, what's the problem? When someone sounds like that, when a group of people at the top sound like that, most of it's because they're guessing. There's an uneasiness when you sound like that. It means you don't know what the other guy's saying, you don't know what it's really going to cost, you don't know what the time frame's going to be, you don't know what the estimates are about, you don't know what your positioning is. You guess, 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 argue, argue, argue. Okay, let's deal with the guess. So let's deal with a framework here. And there's several different versions of this, but G-U-E-S-S. Why don't you just get some data first? Instead of arguing, instead of staying stuck, instead of spinning, or risking, you know, let's set this in motion and see what happens. No, wait a minute. Or try something and throw it up in the air and see what sticks. That's what a lot of people do as they're doing it on the run. No, wait a minute. How about go for some low-hanging fruit? There is some data that's available from an ongoing business. Your customers are telling you things. They're responding to your website. They're responding to some of your services. They're responding to the products. Before you get crazy trying to develop new products, collect some of the data that you already have. They are talking to you. I mean, maybe it's even complaints, whatever kind of data you have. Now, I can tell you a story about one of my clients where they were thinking, oh, we're going to develop this brand new product. Lots and lots of our customers are requesting it. Let me tell you, when they analyzed which customers were requesting it, they would have lost their shirt because it was the customers that were paying the slowest and had the least amount of money and were the most difficult that were requesting this brand new nifty thing. And it wouldn't have been a good idea. So you do have to categorize, kind of do a grid. Which are your best customers? Which are the ones that are the sweet spot? What are they asking for? What are their pain points? Where are they headed? And you can just, you know, see how much you know about your existing clients as you're moving along. And if you collect that and kind of look at the gaps, just kind of understand, the you would be understand. Understand what are the gaps in your data and what are the sources of the gaps. For example, one of my distributor clients, they couldn't figure out why they understood everything about the small contractors, but they didn't really get what the big contractors were doing. And the reason was there's a different style of communication that the large contractors needed. The small contractors would come in the morning, early in the morning, and over hot tea and hot coffee and over the counter and picking up their, you know, with their one truck and picking up their load as they went out at 5:30 in the morning. They would say stuff to the guy at the counter. The large contractors, the people who were actually making the purchase, weren't the same guys showing up at the counter to pick up the stuff. So that interaction, that exchange of information wasn't happening. They needed to have customer councils to talk to the decision makers, to actually get the feedback, the exchange of information about what the larger contractors truly wanted. And then they could have the information about what were the A-list items, where were they concerned, what did they really need in the distribution, what kind of items were going to really matter, what price points truly mattered, what kind of delivery times mattered, all that kind of stuff. But they just needed a different communication pattern. What are the gaps in your understanding of your best customers? Is there a different methodology? Maybe you need something like a customer council. You might not. You may have much more data than you even realize. E, establish your routine. Now, it's simple. Keep it simple. The routine for interacting with your customers. I didn't even get to introducing product development. I didn't even get to setting the budget, doing all that kind of stuff yet. If you have a simple routine that you can count on for the people who are going to be developing the product, which might be the engineers, it might be people in production, it might be a whole new group of people, but there's an interaction between the marketing types and the production types that has to have a routine, a rhythm to it that doesn't upset them. If they can get used to it so that they know once a quarter, once a month, once a week, however often makes sense for the pace of the changes in your business, if they can get along, they can learn to talk to each other and understand how to have a meeting. Oh, this is how we do it. These are the questions. Oh, I get it. All right, what are we even talking about? When that rhythm happens and they can start setting some priorities and they can agree with each other and they can collectively pick and they can engage each other That's why some people call it establish a routine. I call it engage. This is an engagement process. Can you engage the marketing people with the production people? You know, the development people, the engineers. Engage them. Now, this is the place where a lot of folks get in trouble. Let's say you have the people who are truly driving product development. Let's say it's the president. President goes off and they're cutting a big deal. Come back in, they've discovered religion. They met with a big prop, you know, big client. They got all excited. Here's something we need to do, and they plop it on someone. They say, go do this. There's no process. But everybody feels compelled because the authority said they need to do this. It's really disruptive. But if there is a process, a place that it can go, where the people in engineering and the people in marketing can at least talk it through, even if they're scared to death and intimidated by the president, they can go back and say, okay, now we heard your idea. If we did this, you know, here's the money, here's the timing, here's the framework, here's the kind of customers we think it could, you know, could afford it, here's what we would do to develop it, here's the kind of technology we need. Is this what you're thinking about? At least they could give feedback to the president to make sure that they comprehend it. But if there's no place that engagement happens, the president's a loose cannon and can do damage to their own business. So I would say make an engagement, make a process, make a place. So that, you know, the president can't be the one that's doing, you know, setting time bombs off in their own business. Yes. Spell out the strategy. Now, this is going to sound like, you know, business 101, but you know how many businesses do not do this? Go back to that routine, and if you take a business class, you already heard this. How much of your new products and are you doing for existing customers? How much are you doing it for new customers? Versus old customers. In other words, let's do a grid. Are you doing, you know, you're trying to improve your existing products for your existing clients? You follow me? You may have a report that you've done and you're just dressing it up and you're trying to make it seem kind of new packaging for your existing clients. That's nice. Or you have an assessment process that you're doing and you're going to do it again for your clients as a renewal, and you know, the next year you come in and it feels a little bit better. Some of the people who do psychological assessments do that. They've upgraded it. They've added a couple more assessment pieces. Now it feels a little bit newer. It's not really that much newer. It's just packaged nicer. And it's a routine, and they go back in, and it feels fine. Okay. How much of your product development is focused on actually having something truly new for your existing customers? Do you even know? How much of your effort is going to be new to existing? How much of your effort is going to be something that's an existing product to truly new customers, people you've never dealt with before, a new marketplace. Maybe you're really great in the healthcare market arena, but you've never dealt with higher education. Now it seems like a related market. You've dealt with healthcare and a lot of the universities that are related to the hospitals. There's a connection between them, but higher ed's very different in its behavior. You might be able to learn what higher ed talks like and how they make their decisions, but you got to learn how to do that. Maybe there's an application of what you do. Say you're an IT business and you could help with the systems of the higher education industry. How much of what you're doing in your product development is going to be existing products to new markets? And how much is the tough one, new to new? Now, are you centered? Because if you don't have a basic idea of those four, now let's ask the six questions again. Here we go. Don't you think it's going to be disruptive to ongoing operation if you're not centered about which of those four you're doing? Sure, it's disruptive to ongoing operations. You don't even know if it's new to new or if it's existing to existing or if you're just throwing it up against the wall and the president came in and says, do it. How are you going to evaluate the potential if you haven't figured out? Do you have some existing data or are you going to try to find out some new stuff? Hear it? How are you going to stay on schedule when you don't know what the schedule is, if it's new to new or existing to old? You follow what I'm saying? Okay, now I wanted you to get centered, because I want to introduce somebody after the break who's been on a run and is living this. After the break, we'll come back and I'll introduce you to her. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldona Ambler. We'll be right back.
Listen wherever you are. 24-hour business and financial news. Solid, focused, and informed. The leader in business talk. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldona can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the growth strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Well, welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, and I'm Aldana Ambler. I have to blurt into this. Now, what a cool ad that was. Marjorie, did you just hear that?
I did.
Isn't that the coolest ad for adopting a kid? Grunt.
Of course, it made me think about being a parent, you know, and we're here to talk about product, which is another product.
Well, I couldn't ignore that. Well, now I want to introduce my guest, Marjorie Brody. Now, she's just so cool on so many fronts. If you introduced her as a professional speaker, you have to scream. She's one of those very few women that's just recently been inducted into the World Speaker Hall of Fame. Yes!
Thank you.
And as a female speaker, I'm going, yes, 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 yes. But that's not why you're on the radio here. Well, the reason that I chose Marjorie is that, you know, in being a professional speaker and a trainer and the things like that and an author, I mean, it's very difficult to grow the enterprise, right? I mean, it's one of those fields where it invites people to be the solopreneur and stay in their bedroom and, you know, kind of be this small enterprise. And there's a lot of things inviting them not to delegate and to just be so focused on themselves. A lot of things deterring you from doing that, right?
That's true.
But you've been living a different journey.
I have.
Okay. So you started, what, 1983 as a professor?
I started in 1983 and doing part-time work. I was already a college professor, so I started doing some presentation skills training programs for a variety of corporations. And very early on, I began to think, because people would say, well, can you also teach? And they would name something else. And I kept
product
giving.
Well,
this is all product. This is all about product because that's what we are. I mean, whether you're training or coaching or speaking or writing and et cetera. They were asking me to develop programs, very much like you were talking about. I mean, I was listening, you know, writing the guests and the problems. I'm going, oh, yes, I've lived that. If only I had known that.
Well, your clients have been telling you you're more than just a professor for years.
Yes, my clients have been telling me that what they want and what they will buy as well. And I think it's a combination of what the customer wants, and certainly in what I do, what my expertise is, or can I develop that expertise or buy it somewhere, and my passion. I am big on passion. So it has to feel right. And now with every product, every program we bring on, it goes back to who are we? What is that strategy? But Aldana, it took me a long way to get to that point.
Right, now we ought to do the journey because one of the reasons I chose you is I'm impressed by the fact that you didn't get in your way. You listened to what your customers said to you, whereas a lot of other speakers and trainers and such, they don't hear it when their customers tell them, I would buy this.
Oh, well, it's all about the customer. One of my books is speaking is an audience-centered sport.
It is.
You know, again, it's all about that audience and what they're looking for. And we've lived through so many trends in terms of what the market wants. And so how am I willing to stay the course but also to make the changes that are necessary as times change? So, I mean, you ask about what I did. I was a full-time professor of public speaking and doing part-time work as well in corporate America. And then I took an early retirement, January 1 of 1989. And that was when I started to build the program, the company, which was then Brody Communications. Now we've changed the name to Brody Professional Development. And where I think I was lucky is that I am real aware of my strengths as well as my limitations. And I don't believe anybody can be all things to all people and keep that energy and the creativity and the customer service and everything. So I started hiring people part-time first and then full-time very early on. I mean, there was no way that I was going to be typing letters and sending out bills and typing up my manuals. I mean,
I can't even picture you doing that, knowing you.
No. I mean, it's a detail.
Places to go, people to see to do that.
But you see, I think that's true with all product development is making sure you've got the right people in there, whether you need to delegate, barter it, or hire it. Where should the time be spent? And I certainly felt that way for me. Where's my time best spent? And then it was true when people were asking me on a certain date to train, and I was already booked. So I was then starting to turn down work, and I thought, let's start bringing in and certifying other trainers. And I've had speakers say to me, well, are you giving them your signature stories? You know, and I said, you know what? If you're asking that question, you're not ready to do it.
Yes.
You need to be willing to get rid of the ego and say that these other people might be as good, they might be better, but am I there to meet the customer needs and build the business, or am I there about my ego needs?
Well, you were out creating newer stories.
Absolutely.
Somebody else was telling maybe a four-year-old story.
And different programs and doing and just being out there, but I could not serve all the customer demand, and that just meant expansion. And we expanded both through new products of new programs based on customer needs, as well as new trainers and certifying them.
So how long did it take you to grow out of the house and, you know, move into like a building?
It actually took out of the first house, which was a couple bedrooms, into a new house which had 1,400 square feet that was just built as an office.
Yes.
And it was funny because I did it thinking that it would save me time and I'm getting off an airplane and I could work 24/7. And when I finally left that house, which was not until about 7 years ago, and got into a building, I went, why didn't I do this sooner?
Yeah.
And now our trainers come in more over the weekends, and it's just I can get away from work, and I think we need that.
I was going to say, you got your privacy back.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It allows you to be a little more creative. Like when I'm at work, I'm at work. When I'm at home now, I'm thinking, you know, there is more to life than just working.
Yep. So now, how big is your company now? How many employees do you have? What kind of staffing do you have?
Yeah. We have 9 full-time staff, several part-time staff, and 20 trainers. Some are full-time, some are contract, and they're out doing the programs that we have.
And do your sales pitch. What kind of programs are you
doing? Oh, thank you.
Your company's good. I want people to know what you guys
thank
do.
Thank you. Yeah, we work with corporations and with individuals to help their presentation, their communication, their persuasion, creating professionalism and impact. So it's all around types of communication. So we'll work with leaders doing coaching within organizations, and then we do training, and then I do keynote speaking. See, and each of those is a different product in essence.
Right.
Each one is a different area of the company for income producing, along with, and we didn't even mention, the tangible products.
So the layers, if I hear it right, the early things were maybe you had a book. Right?
You
had a speech, and you had some training programs on presentation skills and etiquette.
That's right.
The early ways?
Presentation skills was first, and it was client demand asking for making meetings work, general communication, listening, business etiquette.
Yeah,
so that was based on client requests. What else can you do? We're thrilled with the presentation skills program. Now, where can we go next using you?
So how did you handle this clumsiness of, okay, if we added something else, it's how are we going to handle it's disruptive. We're busy doing this. How can we develop something else? How did you do that?
Well, for a long time, I didn't even understand the word strategy. And to quote you, I was throwing stuff on the wall to see what stuck. But after a while, I found that I was trying to, we started a new division, which was the product division, Career Skills Press, because originally I had big publishers publishing my books, and I thought, oh, I can make much more money and control the situation if I have my own publishing company. And so what happened is I was trying to do way too many things. And in truth, my passion and strength is not in management. And so at one point, my father said to me, Marjorie, are you having fun? And he was a very successful businessman. And I said, no. And he said, then you need to step back and take a look at what you need to do differently.
Yeah, you didn't have that, you know, in routine, that place of engagement that I mentioned.
No. No.
Within
and
your business.
I did not.
I get it.
No. Mm-hmm. And we were beginning, we had so many people that we were now, you know, we had the operations people, and as you said, they really don't really talk to the marketing people or the sales people. There's just so much going on, and I wasn't here to oversee it and didn't really want to oversee it.
There had to be days when an operations person didn't even want to talk to you or a salesperson or marketing because, God help us, they would say, we got this new program, you're going to have to put this in there, you're going to have to, you know, run these off and go down to Kinko's and print these off. That kind of frenetic week, there had to be.
What do you mean some days?
Uh-huh. There had to be.
Well, of course. And there's a difference in style and a difference in urgency and a difference in terms of what detail means. And it's learning to communicate with a variety of people with different needs and different strengths in order to move the business as a whole forward, to really evaluate, well, if I'm going to write a book on X, is there going to be that market? So a lot of the things that you talked about, and then who do I get involved in doing that? And what is our strategic plan? Because I certainly did not want a garage full of products that we're not going to sell.
And it can easily happen, can't it?
Oh.
You know, how many of our friends have garages full of stuff that is not never going to move? Never.
Well, I do have a few of those myself, and so now.
We have hundreds of friends in NSA. They're lovely people, great speakers, but they've got garages full of junk.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, you know what? It's more, I don't even think mine are junk. I think they're really good, but if people in this arena are not selling it, if the office is not selling it.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
so how'd you get through that phonetic period, though?
Well, that's when I started realizing I needed to get a COO to run that business.
So did you immediately go to Presto, you got the right one, or were you normal and had to go through a few?
Went through a few. In fact, I had hired somebody who had been recommended, but she didn't want to work full-time because she had adopted a child and wanted to be home.
Grunt.
Well, you know, we're going back to the commercial, but the thing is, you know, her whole focus, because she's one of those people, if you hired her for 5 hours, she would work 15. And so she began to coach me, and we brought in some men that we thought would work out.
That's it. Apparently, well, that's surprising.
You know, we're still looking for one good man because we have yet to find. Yeah, but it's like the Marine Corps. We have a lot of testosterone in our hormonal world. We call it the estrogen clinic. But what we found is we could not find anyone that wanted to work under me and with that coach. And so we had two very bad choices. One that I think almost drove us out of business.
Interesting.
And it took about 5 years to undo all the mistakes that he made.
See, now I'm glad you're being honest because the opening segment of this, I'm talking about that exchange point, that engagement point between marketing and production is so key, and not to have the president in the middle of it. And that frenetic pace is so tough for most companies to manage. You know, they end up at a plateau point. They often end up, you know, at about 1.5 million, 2 million forever, and then until the president says, screw this, I'm selling, I'm out of here.
Yeah,
and they end up at that plateau and to the point where, okay, how big do you want this thing to get before you're going to deal with it?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad you're being honest so that listeners can hear it because that's what it's about.
Yeah, I think we have reached a plateau point and we're very frustrated, so we're sitting down and running focus groups with our customers.
Good.
We're doing a rebranding initiative. We're cleaning up the core programs and saying this is who we are.
Cool.
Excuse me. And I'm saying, go out and break things. Let's just try new things. But we can't just do it to break them. We need to really be strategic in our planning.
Well, you've got the issue of, you know, what is the core company that you've been building?
Excuse me. Uh-huh.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm choking here, but it's all right.
You have water?
It's okay. I'll be fine.
After the break, we'll find out if Marjorie survived her choking.
I'll be fine. You said, you know,
we wanted a cliffhanger, but not the little I think I'll go to break and make sure she's okay. This is the Growth Strategist with Meltani Ambler. We'll be right back.
Fresh, dynamic, and totally prepared for continuing business education. Business Talk Radio. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
If suddenly you're numb or weak on one side, limb, or face,
it could be a stroke. Get help. Don't wait.
Maybe it's a loved one suddenly slurring their speech or dizzy.
Call 911 and get medical help quickly.
Blacks have a higher occurrence. Do you want to know more?
Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost.
A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler, and today we're talking with Marjorie Brody of, now Marjorie just changed the name of her company, so I'm going to make sure I'm saying this. Brody Professional Development, right?
Right.
Okay. That's new to me. I'm still saying Brody.
Well, it used to be Brody Communications. Yeah. Everyone thought it was a cell phone company, so we thought we really better change that, and we are a professional development company.
That makes more sense. I understand that.
But we ran that out through our focus groups, and so we just didn't jump. We're not jumping with anything anymore. Everything that we're putting out, we're talking to our clients.
Now, I want to make an observation, not just for Marjorie, but for the listeners. You know, it almost sounds contradictory about how I opened, and then I put somebody on her who just did this in a flat-out run and has done really well. Now, wait a second. You got to listen to this. Because, yeah, you can grow your business through a flat-out run, but not everybody's Marjorie. She has been, you know, she is like a magnet. She does draw customers to her. She is really, she's got an energy level. She doesn't have blood. She's got just flat out adrenaline and has for quite a while. And she is really, really excellent at what she does. And there is a difference between like what some speakers are doing versus a lot of product people who have like, you know, widgets and such, just not to be silly about this, but think about it. Speakers and consultants and such, we are interacting with thousands of people. We have a much closer connection with a range of input about what the market is telling us. I mean, think about this. Whereas some people who are in businesses most of the time have smaller data points, a smaller range. They might go out on one account, two accounts, three accounts on an individual day-to-day basis. And I've seen presidents come back, and they're all excited about this is what the clients are telling us or what the market is saying, and they make million-dollar decisions based on one and two and three data points. Right, Marjorie? I mean, think about it.
Well, it's true, and I have to say that I am often guilty of that because I am so enthusiastic and say, look at what we could achieve by doing X. And I've had to slow down myself because I was aggravating everybody here.
I would imagine managing is tough.
Oh, I cannot be managed, which is why I own my own business. I've been told no one would hire me. But my point is, I mean, even today I'm having a conversation about when we look at the millennials getting into the workplace saying, well, we need to have much more that is downloadable on the iPods.
Yep.
and I need to make sure that all my books are on CDs, and we are creating more DVDs. But I've been talking like this for the last 4 years, which
right.
was way ahead of the game, and now it's where do we want to spend our money? Where are our resources? Do we have the right people internally to be able to do this?
Mm-hmm.
And so the good thing for me, and I say this is great for anybody, is I am one that's out there. I am willing to risk. I'm willing to take chances. I'm a visionary. My COO is brilliant and fabulous and much more conservative.
Yeah, now tell us about Pamela.
And I say that because...
Tell us about COO.
Okay. Well, she's one of the people that happens to be talented in everything. So she says yes to everything, and then we'll get exhausted and drained. So I'm constantly talking to her saying, where's your passion? What do we need to either hire someone else to do or to delegate out? Because she takes on too much. And so
she's
probably
at a critical point in her development, too.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of times when I hear people sound like this, I mean, you know, it's not a consultation show, but, you know, a lot of times when I hear, like, the journey that the two of you have gone through, I start asking questions about, all right, who's running the finances? Do you need a controller?
Mm-hmm.
I start asking about that kind of stuff, because if the person who's running the operations is still taking care of the budget and the finance and things like that, they run out of time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and so there's a lot of responsibility, and she is talented and fabulous. I mean,
she has to be.
She is. I mean, she and anybody that ever meets her is
mm-hmm.
just they love her and never forget who she
but
is.
She's managing you. I mean,
she
on.
Is managing me.
You're a handful, Marjorie.
But the good thing here is we've got the person that's ready to push. We've got the person that's ready to pull back. But we respect each other so much that
right.
we usually find a way in the middle.
Yeah.
Often she, I mean, because she really taught me to understand the value of strategy, and
mm-hmm.
and she says to me, okay, now how is that in strategic alliance with what we're doing with any product? And how much money do you want to spend on this to be able to we can sell it? So
yeah.
I think that it's a good mix, it's a good conversation, and I'm very lucky to have someone that does help me with that, because I would just be out there doing more, more, more.
Now, one of the things that you're like, several of the listeners, this is one of the things that happens in the journey of the $20 million types that are listening. I'm focused on you guys, and most of them are guys, unfortunately. You know, unfortunately for the women, there's not very many of us out there.
No, a few more years.
Well, we're getting there. Okay, guys, here we go. One of the things that happens at 20 is that a lot of the guys that have run those businesses are getting itchy, and they have other things they want to do. And they have that career decision. It's a personal decision. Is this all there is? And they go through the transformation of becoming the CEO. I mean, for real, they may have had the title for a long time, but it is different to have a CFO behind you, a COO behind you, change that you're really, you know, you're not going to be the only one making the decisions. It is the management team, all that kind of stuff is a personal choice of do you have that in you? Do you want to change your day-to-day speed? Like, listen to how Marjorie sounds. Everybody listening to her, you can have that self-recognition, that go, 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 decide, do, move, you know, and she may only have to argue with one person. She has to argue with Pamela. And she can even have the, you know, she can word it right that she's not arguing with Pamela, but you know what I'm saying. The intense conversations is one-on-one. Well, it changes to having group decisions, and that's a personal choice. Is that what you want for your life? Okay, so here's what happens. And Marjorie, you're in this kind of thing too.
Mm-hmm.
You're a celebrity, okay? So now you have this decision about managing your persona as a keynote speaker. And it's a separate business from this communications company, this professional development company that has these trainers and has a COO, it has these products, it has books, it has different kinds of topics that may or may not be identical to what you're going to talk about as a keynote, right?
That is true.
So how are you managing all that?
Well, we finally made a decision it's a totally different division, and where there can be some back and forth, that's great. But I have one person that's working on selling me, along with me selling me and taking that away from the trainers. If that happens, the people that are selling the training, if they can sell it, great, but it's not part of their day-to-day responsibility. And even I'm going to get different business cards, new website, the whole thing.
Oh, good.
There really is a differential, because if I were starting all over again, I would never have named the company after Brody, you know. And so how do we keep
Looking back, you wouldn't have.
No. It took a long time before my clients didn't really know. Many of them don't know that I exist. Now, my old clients still come, and I will train if they want me to come. But overall, I'm saying you don't need me.
At least it's a good word. I mean, it's short. You can say it. You
Not a bad name. It's just
Bill
that
Brooks feels the same way, though. he looks back and he wishes, you know, he hadn't put his name in the company for his sales business.
No, because, you know, someday when I do want to sell it, it shouldn't be a problem anymore. I think I've divorced myself enough. Mm-hmm. But, again, it is a separate division, and we really look at whether it's our career skills press, which is the publishing division and product division, versus the training versus my coaching, which really goes between, and then there's the keynote. So we've got these different divisions, and every month we evaluate our numbers on where are we with that and who's selling what and how do I differentiate myself from the rest of the business. So when it is sold or whatever
is done. Well,
thinking like
that. It doesn't sound like you're ready to do it tomorrow. But
I'm not ready tomorrow.
You're smart
but
enough to think about it in those terms as a you have the stewardship of this enterprise. You know, you got to talk like that.
Well, I think the two words are both S words, scale and sale.
Right.
So how do we scale it up? And then, of course, ultimately getting it ready for sale. So,
okay, so
clearly
think out
we're working
loud.
On
are
that.
You the CEO of Brody Professional Development?
I am the founder and fearless leader of Brody Communications.
No, you're certainly fearless leader.
But I am.
Now, walk me through the job, though. I mean, are you, and if I ask you something you shouldn't, you know, reveal, tell me to shut up. Okay.
Now, you know, my job really is more as a sounding board.
Okay.
And working, so I work interface with everybody in the office, and sometimes because I think they get too down into the detail, and I'm out there so much, one with clients and with other professionals, that I'm standing maybe at the 12,000 foot instead of the 6,000 or the 600, and I'm able to come in and say, well, maybe we ought to do this, 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 and this.
So you're still a motivational spark and a get them to see the big picture?
I do that, and I show up at as many of our staff meetings as I can.
Yeah.
And I do go and see how I can help. In other words, if our salespeople say, Marjorie, you go to New York with me, I've got a sales call.
Got
I will. Or we need 20 trainers out there, and one of our trainers is sick, I'll fill in. I'll do whatever I have to do to make this business grow.
Mm-hmm. So what's on the management team? Who runs this place now, besides the COO?
Well, Pam and then Don heads up our operations, and then we've got, you know, we have other people with functions, and so she'll hand off a lot of responsibility. We've got our account managers, we've got our technical and marketing people, and then we have our PR person, and we just lost our director of training, so that's something that we will be replacing soon.
Oh, you just did a recruitment thing up on air. That's
how about
hey,
that?
Never
yeah,
know.
never
we're
know.
We're training director.
Yes, we are. We are.
Know.
And right now, you know, Pam is taking over some of that, and some of the trainers are, and so am I. So it's something that we will be looking at.
Do you, now, this may sound like a crazy question. Would you ever even entertain having another president for your business at some point? Has that even occurred to you, or is that premature to even think about?
I think what we would do, I mean, how would I feel in moving Pam into this role and having someone
I don't even know if it would be
her?
Pam.
I know.
I'm just saying, have you ever even thought about it?
No.
Okay.
No, not really. No, I'm not willing to let go yet. This is still my baby.
Well, I didn't say today.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know what? At some time, of course. I mean, that's why I said I don't know how this will unfold in terms
right.
of actually developing into sale, but of course.
Right.
Which is why also I want to be doing a lot of speaking, because then I can have something still where I'm adding value in the world,
right.
but the company is off with somebody else. That's okay.
Now let's layer the product development side of this, because you're part of the product. Because the Brody Professional Development, its process of product development is kind of out of body. You know what I mean? It's got this interface point of what kind of books, what kind of training programs for its customers, which is a combination of the training and other people. It's not so Marjorie focused. And that can be more of a rhythm than a routine. How do you scale this thing? And that can be things like, how do you make sure it's not disruptive to operation? How do you make sure that you're evaluating potential? How do you stay on schedule? How do you don't have budget overruns? How do you not drift out of your niche? That would be good for you to watch.
Those are all good questions, yeah.
Yeah, but that's what you could learn how to do to make sure that you scale it so that you can have, you know, some really good profitability out of the thing.
Absolutely. Right now, Aldona, we really evaluate every single program. If we have a request for a new program, is that in alignment with what we do?
Yeah.
And so when we realize that, then it's a matter of working with a team internally or bringing in an external program developer to help work with us. And we use our trainers a lot. We have our core trainers who help us with program development, too, and going on sales calls. So typically we will not develop a new program anymore unless it is requested a number of times, and then we say, yes, there is value in moving forward with that.
Gotcha. Okay, now after the break, we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about product development on this complex journey of two companies for Marjorie Bruni. This is Aldana Ambler, the Growth Strategist. We'll be right back.
Business information you need. From the stock market to starting and managing your business. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and approve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDANA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Bleeding profits, rupturing customer service. These business diseases can not only cripple a company, but kill it. On Business Diseases, Cure Them or Die with Dr. Tom Rogers and Jim Bellis. These symptoms of a sick business are exposed, diagnosed, and effective treatments and vaccinations are offered. Tune in to Business Diseases, Cure Them or Die, every Thursday at noon Pacific on Voice America Business to eliminate diseases contaminating your business and promote healthy, profitable growth.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. And today we're talking about growing your business through a really robust product development process. And we're talking with Marjorie Bruni of Bruni Professional Development. And I want to make sure we have contact information for Marjorie for people to be able to reach her. Marjorie, where would you want people to call you or email you?
Okay, well, let me give you an 800 number, 1-800-726-7936. 1-800-726-7936 or Marjorie at, we've just changed our email address. Everything is so new. Marjorie@BrodiePro.com or Marjorie Bruni at Bruni Communications. And Bruni is with a Y, BruniCommunications.com. So we're in that transition phase of getting everything changed from our website to
I'm still stumbling on the name of the business. I admit it. I'm so used to Bruni Communications.
You know what? So am I.
Now, and people who want to contact me, it's real easy. If you know my name, you can reach me. It's Aldana@Ambler.com. And the website is www.thegrowthstrategist.com. And the toll-free number is 1-888-ALDANA. And I get the greatest calls and emails after the shows. It's great fun. I didn't talk about the Eagles today, but it makes me cry, so I'm not do that.
Very sad.
Very sad. But, you know, it's been interesting to do that. It dates the show a little bit too much, so we pull those segments out when we tape it. Mm-hmm. But the emotional content of running a team and running a business is really conveyed in how the Eagles play. So they really are a lot of...
Similarities.
There's a lot of analogies there, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Okay, so now, we want to make sure we're focused on the product development side of things, and can everybody hear that I would suggest to Marjorie, I'm such a fan of hers, and she knows this, I would suggest that there's a two-business thing here. Whether or not she calls them divisions or separates them as companies, that's up to her. That doesn't matter. But there really is a pause point for, you know, do that grid of what is the strategy of, you know, how much are the existing customers going to get some existing products? How much are the existing customers are going to get some new products? How much of the, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Lay it out so that you know your resources are going to be, you know, where the money and the time, et cetera, is going to go in each of the businesses. So that you know where your money's going to go, because you're dividing up your time, you're dividing up your money, you're dividing up your energy, and it only can go so far, even with someone with as much adrenaline as you. And I want people to hear why I'm saying that, because especially at the point, you guys that are listening, at the $20 million point when you're starting to diversify and you get itchy for a new marketplace, you get an idea for a brand new product, managing the resources so it doesn't, you don't run out of time and run out of money is one of the most critical pieces. So that S, spell out the strategy, is the one I want to emphasize the most in GIF. Spell out the strategy so you're at least centered. You're not going to be right all the time, but at least have a basic GIF so that you know where you're in trouble when it starts to get away from you. So you can go back and say, oh, that's where we're cheating. Oh, that's where we're losing it. So you don't just argue with each other or have tension over nothing. You can prevent a lot of problems if you've at least tried to guess what you were trying to do. Okay? So, Marjorie, you know, if you think back over this, you've done pretty well with product development. You're going to be continuing to do it, I can see.
Yes.
If you were to give, like, some basic, you know, guidelines, recommend to people, what do you be careful about?
Okay. Well, I think to think through why you are developing that product.
Yes.
And to me, everything we do should be about making a profit. It should go right to the bottom line. Now, look, there's always the branding piece and the trail of tangibles and that. But if you really are looking to make money, then you need to take a look at how you want to do that. And so I think take a look at which customers are asking for the product. And I think it is just critical. I mean, I am a business to business. And, you know, I'm not as worried about the business to the consumer because those are one-offs. They're going to buy a book here or buy there from our shopping cart. Well, that's nice. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I'm really looking at how do we package the products and make them a bigger part of the programs that we offer, because then we'll sell thousands and thousands of that.
Yeah.
So looking from a long term, who's going to buy and what they're willing to pay. And that pricing is critical. If you're not going to get your profit, and if you have cash flow as an issue, well, when do you expect that you're going to recoup that? Can you pre-sell? I mean, that's the other thing, is looking for ways to pre-sell. And then, how do you take whatever you have? And this doesn't work in the widget business. I mean, I understand that every business is a little different, but how are you leveraging whatever that product is?
What are some of your suggestions in pricing? You've had a whole range, like 18 books now.
Right.
Some pricing hints?
Well, we actually had a materials meeting last night and said that we have to make at least 50% more, you know, or 100% on each product. So how are we going to bundle that? If it's going to cost us $15, are we going to sell it for at least $35? You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we know that it is a profit, and that'll work. I personally would go higher, but I'm getting pushback from everyone else that's out in the trenches. So we're going to go with this.
Mm-hmm.
And I just find if it's worthwhile, if it's useful, if it's good, then it usually people will pay for it.
And you're getting pushback from whom? The trend?
Internally. People selling. Yeah, they're saying.
Yeah, my reaction is okay. Go do the grid and find out which customers are whining.
Yeah.
You know which.
Yeah.
You know who. Who?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a salesperson that couldn't, you know, close the sale and is worried about a commission and, you know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, et cetera, et cetera, and they just need another excuse? Or is it that they're not selling to the big enough clients in the first place, or, you know, whatever? I always want to consider the source.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know, also, I have to say that that goes back to me is like, just jump on, oh, push it, mm-hmm. Where the others are saying, well, we've done research about it. This is what our competitors are doing. This is what the market will bear. This is whatever. So I have to listen to some of that as well.
Right.
So I think it's a combination, because I'm usually the one to say, let's push, push, push.
Mm-hmm.
And I have learned that sometimes my pushing can get us into trouble. Therefore, I need to step back and say, listen to what everyone else has to say who's speaking with that customer all the time.
Yeah. And it's an example of where, you know, go back to that first part of the program where I said, guess. Go back to, you know, if you start
get the data,
and start arguing with
yeah.
each other,
mm-hmm.
go back and look at the data and
yeah.
see, you know, which one of you, you know, is close to
right.
the reality of it, because you might both, know, you know, only have one data point.
You don't also have to reinvent the wheel all the time. Again, depends on what your product or service is. But, for example, I'm getting enough customers saying, well, do you have this downloadable for an iPod? Do you have this on a CD? So to take the books that I've written and now have them published in a variety of ways. Mm-hmm. So this is all part of how we're looking to develop. It's not that I'm not interested really right now in writing another book. It is a matter of how do we take what we have and leveraging that.
Yeah, some part of it, you know, it is pretty obvious we need to deal with the technology, you know, staying
right.
Backwards.
Mm-hmm.
We get that. We know that. Well, folks, you get the idea. If you want to check out some leading edge kind of stuff, if you want to hear a really good speaker, check out Marjorie Brody. She knows what she's talking about. I thank you for being my guest. I want to have you on next year. We'll see what happens in the next wave of your journey.
Well, thank you, Aldana, and everybody. And I'd love to hear from some of you directly, too, with questions you have. Or
most of my guests do.
Good.
So as I always do each week, my wish for my audience is accelerated growth with sustained profitability. This is the Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, signing out.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into the Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of The Growth Strategist, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.